If you have your Bibles, we are going to be in the book of Psalms again tonight. I love teaching out of the book of Psalms because it's such a practical book for today. As we go through life, it's a practical book for us to read and look at. Just like the book of Proverbs, we've said there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. One chapter a day is a great Bible study to add to your devotional time. The book of Psalms is 150 books, 150 chapters, but it's just such a lot in it. And we're going to look at one particular psalm tonight, 8 verses long, but it's just packed with a bunch of things that we can use on an everyday basis. So I hope if you have your Bibles, you'll turn to Psalm 121. I've titled this topical teaching tonight, Hang On, Help is Coming. Hang on, help is coming. Follow along as I read the 8 verses of Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? Notice that's a question mark there. We'll look at that in a moment. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. There's some Bibles that label this particular Psalm 121 as a song of degrees. It's a psalm that the worshipers back in those times would sing as they made their way to Jerusalem to participate in the 3 annual feasts that were held there, the Feast of Passover and Pentecost and the Feast of the Tabernacles. You see, with that in mind, it's plain to see that this psalm that we just read, 121, is a pilgrim's song. It was a song that tells about the dangers that they might encompass there on the way to Jerusalem and to see the help that God provides as they traveled along. Verse number 1, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? And again, I said that's a question mark there. Verse number 1 is not a declaration of hope. It is not a declaration of hope, but rather it's a cry of despair. You see, the psalmist is telling us that in the hills that they're going through, there is lurking danger and waiting for the opportunity to pounce on the traveler as they came through that area. You see, that's what it was in those mountainous areas. And then when it happens, where was that pilgrim that was marching along, walking around, going to turn for help? Well, the psalmist answers his own question by reminding us that God is our help. God is our help. And you see, let me remind you just this evening that we are pilgrims in this land. You see, our journey began at that very moment that we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And that journey will continue until we step out of this life into eternity. Just on Sunday morning, I had the privilege of leading a gentleman here at church to Jesus Christ. He accepted Jesus Christ. You see, his journey began last Sunday at about 12:30. That's when his journey began. Oh, you see, when he was walking out, his wife said, why do you have such a smile on your face? Well, it's because I just accepted Jesus. Amen. Really, I didn't know you weren't saved. Wow. Now a husband and wife are saved. They're going to spend eternity in heaven. You see, his journey started last Sunday. Oh, the glories that will await us when we finally get home. You see, along the way, though, however, There are those dangers that lurk around us. There are those thieves that would rob us of the peace and the joy and the victory that we're looking for. There are sins that we commit that quench the fire of God in our souls. There are problems that strip us of the glory and the power of God. And I don't know about you, but I've been through those difficult times myself. Times when danger surrounded my life to the point where I wondered where my help would come from. You see, it wasn't too long ago, if you remember when Hurricane Wilma came through this area, and they told us it was just a Category 1 storm. We lowered our shutters and we prepared the best that we could. And my family, my wife and I and my two kids, we were sitting in the Florida room. And the wind had been howling a little bit, but it wasn't bad. But all of a sudden it got bad. And all of a sudden we heard the roof peeling away. And I'll have to tell you, I was scared. I didn't know if the whole roof was going to come off. The water started pouring in from the ceiling fan. And we had buckets. We found everything we could. We got everything out of the room. And as we did that, after we got everything out, we got the buckets going, we prayed together as a family. We sang songs as a family. I don't even remember what we sang. Probably songs that I was making up, because I'm good for making up songs. Drives my family nuts. When we used to drive in the car, I'd make up silly songs, and they would just, "Hey, Dad, would you please be quiet for a while?" You know. But you see, that was a difficult time that I remember. I'll never forget that day when Hurricane Wilma came through and ripped off our roof and put it down two houses into the guy's pool down the street. I'll never forget that. But you see, God was with us. He protected us. He protected us. You see, you might be here tonight with that problem, with that issue, with that difficulty. So I want to encourage you tonight with this psalm, that if you're struggling, if you have a difficulty, or just aware of the problems that are around you, maybe around the next corner, as you turn around the next corner, there's that problem. You see, then this Psalm 121 is for you tonight. Because hang on, help is coming. Hang on, help is coming. You see, the psalmist tells us about that source of help. That source who is greater than any problem that we could ever imagine. And in these verses, we find the help that we need for our journey. That journey that began when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're going to break it down into three little sections tonight. The first section is the source of our help. The source of our help. It's in verses 2 through 4. The first thing is, He is our Creator. Verse number 2, it says, "My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." You see, the psalmist that was writing this knew that his help would not come from the hills that they were walking through. No, you see, in times past, during those times, the hills had been places of idolatry and false religion. That's what they were. And he knew that no help could be found there. But you see, the psalmist turns his attention to Jesus, to God. He knew that the real source of his help during that time as he was journeying on was Almighty God. You see, the psalmist isn't referring to some friend or ally, but to the Creator of the universe. Did you think about that? That the person that we call our personal friend, Jesus Christ, is the Creator of the universe. Did you think about that lately? That's something to wrap your mind around. That the God that we can call our friend is the Creator of everything. You see, if God can make this world, then I know that He surely has the power to take care of me and to take care of you. even if we're going through those difficult times. What a truth. Our helper is none other than the very one, that's like I've just said, who stood on the edge of nothing and made everything. He's able to help you and me tonight, tomorrow, and forevermore. Tonight, tomorrow, and forevermore. That's how long it is that he is going to be our helper and our keeper. You see, he is our creator. But verse number 3 talks about he is our comforter. Verse number 3, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. You see, that verse talks about how God won't let our foot slip. If you've ever walked down to a canal or a lake or something and you've stepped on a rock and it's kind of slimy, your foot slips. You can go in. That's the picture that I get here of God sustains us. He keeps our feet on solid ground. He's ever with us. He's promised to sustain us with his presence and his power. I love Hebrews 13:5, and it always seems to end up in my teaching somehow. But I love this verse because it says, don't love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, and this is the thing that I really love about this verse, it says, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. What a wonderful promise that is. You know, of the 7,000 plus promises that Jesus has given us in the Bible, that's one of my favorites because I know he'll never fail me and he will never abandon me. If you have that bumper sticker on your car, please forgive me, but if it says God is my co-pilot, please take it off because God is our pilot and our co-pilot. And we're sitting in the back of the plane. And if we're not, there's something wrong. God is our pilot. Matthew 28:20 says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you and be sure of this. It says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Even to the end of the age. And we think that may be soon, but we don't know. We don't know because what Pastor Ken has been teaching from the book of Revelations, chapter 12, the sign in the sky, September 23rd. If you want to know more about that, come on Sunday mornings. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know that that sign is going to be fulfilled from Revelation 12 on September 23rd next month. He will keep us even to the end of the age. That's a wonderful promise. I am with you always. He's with us all the time. You see, we need to remember that Jesus never made a house that fell or a foundation that crumbled. I get called out to go out and look at stuff, pools and decks in the area. On a regular basis. And people will say, you know, my pool and my deck is just falling apart. What happened? Well, they didn't build it right. It was built on a poor foundation. But you see, we don't have to worry about that because God doesn't make a foundation that ever will crumble. You know, there will be times when we feel like maybe we want to give up and give in, but we have to realize, what has he done for us? He's lifted us out of that miry clay that we were in. He's lifted us out of that and established us as believers. Psalm 40, 1 through 3. You don't have to turn, I'm going to read it. But I would encourage you to go back in your devotions and look at these three verses in Psalm 40. Listen to them because they are so precious. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He heard me. God is listening to us all the time. Verse number 2, it says, he lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. You know, there are people here that have a testimony of what they did before they became believers. I don't have that. I've told you that before. I was saved at a very young age, and I don't have that. But when those people that do, you see, he lifted them out of the mud and mire. Think about the Apostle Paul just for a moment. Think about the Apostle Paul, our New Testament pastor. Boy, was he deep down in the mud and mire. Wow, couldn't get much deeper. He was persecuting, killing Christians, persecuting the church, running around. People were afraid of him. Don't you remember what happened after he was blind and he came in and the people said, oh, that's Saul, get him away from here. He was a bad guy. He was deep in the mud and the mire, but you see, Jesus lifted him out of that, and that's what he does. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. That's a beautiful picture to me, because we can walk on solid ground, and I just picture Jesus with his hands on us like that, keeping us solid. And we want to sway or do this kind of, he's keeping us solid, on our solid ground. That's a beautiful picture there. As I steadied, and steadied me as I walked around, he has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Do you have a song that you sing when you drive or when you're around the house? Make up songs, silly songs, but just praise God in your songs, in your hymns. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. What is that saying? Well, it's telling me that as testimonies out in the world, that people will see us, we're planting those seeds as we talked about a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night. We may not see those seeds grow. We may just put them in the ground. We may combine water them that somebody else has put in. But you see, as we live our testimonies out there in a way that's pleasing to God, people will see that. And they'll put their trust in the Lord. Those are three powerful verses hidden away in Psalm 40. There's so many little jewels in the book of Psalms. I love it. You see, what this means to us is that we can count on Jesus to help us along the way. You see, the New Testament depicts Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit, or as the Comforter, as we see in John 16:13. You see, he's pictured as the one who comes beside us to offer us help and assistance during our journey. He helps us to keep on standing. For the Lord, the Holy Spirit is there to help us stand. I often think about that poem, Footprints in the Sand. Jesus, why did you leave me when I was going through that difficult time? No, my son, that's when I carried you. That's when I carried you. He is our comforter. But you see, he's also our constant helper. Verses 3 and 4, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. You see, the Lord knows that it's easy for us to slip. He knows that it's easy for us to sleep. There's those times when we grow weary and we want to rest. Those times that we can let down our guard sometimes and get caught napping. But not so with Jesus. He's always awake. He's always there active on our behalf. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't fall asleep. Therefore, if we know that and we believe that in our heart, then we don't have to worry. Yes, times are difficult sometimes. We go through those tough times. But Jesus is there with us. We don't have to fret about it. We don't have to lose a moment's sleep because of the problem or another. Jesus is always awake for us. That's a blessing that we know that we can depend on him 24/7, 365. He's always there. Lamentations 3:23. And this is part of my life verse. I love this verse. It says, great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Because we can know that Jesus has his mercies are new every time that we wake up in the morning with a whole new basketful. We may have used them up tonight. We go to bed, the basket is empty. When we get up in the morning, the basket is full. Those mercies are fresh every morning. That's a blessed promise right there. There's a story that back in the days of World War II, the Germans were bombing London all night, every night. After one terrible attack, the people of London began to search through the rubble, looking for the dead and the injured. After a while, all had been accounted for, except for one old grandmother. Her name? Mrs. Smith. They searched everywhere for her, and finally someone found her in her bedroom, asleep in her bed. They were shocked and they asked her, Mrs. Smith, how could you sleep with all those bombs dropping around you? Her answer was priceless. She said, well, the Bible says that he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. I decided there was no use in both of us staying up, so I just went to sleep and left it in the Lord's hands. I have no idea if that's a true story or not, but I thought it was really cute. We might as well just go to sleep and leave it in the Lord's hands. Number one, the source of our help. Number two, the strength of our help. The strength of our help. Verses 5 and 6. He protects us from our enemies. Verse number 5, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The verse tells us that the Lord is our shade at the right hand. What in the world does that mean? Well, we have to go back into the Bible times and what they were experiencing then. You see, in ancient times, warriors carried two instruments in their hand. In their right hand, they usually held their sword, and in the left hand, they held their shield. That meant that the right side of their body was open to attack, since the shield was over on this side. The psalmist is telling us that God takes up that deliberate defensive position to protect us where we are most vulnerable. We don't know where those attacks will come from. Sometimes we'll find ourselves attacked in areas where we're weak. Our enemy knows our weaknesses. Other times, maybe we'll be attacked in areas where we're the strongest. If you think about Moses, just for a moment. What was his great strength? Well, we would say his great strength was probably his meekness. But what happened? He got angry and struck a rock. And what? He was forbidden to enter the promised land. You see, Abraham's greatest strength was his faith in the Lord. He had great faith. Yet when he went into Egypt, he went in pure unbelief. His faith was weak. The point is that we'll be attacked, but we don't know where that attack is going to come from. But you see, as we just said, God never sleeps. It doesn't catch him off guard. He's always there to shield us and to protect us from our enemies. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Verse number 6, he protects us from the elements. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. You see, in this verse, the psalmist is speaking of two sources of harm that were common to soldiers back in those days. The one of them was sunstroke. We still see that today. It was a dangerous condition where the body becomes overheated and it shuts down. I don't know about you, but in this heat that we're experiencing here, I experience that about every day. I have to go in and take a nap on a regular basis. I'm wore out. You get shut down. It's also that condition can be fatal if you don't take care of yourself. That was sunstroke. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Well, moonstroke, yes, moonstroke, unlike sunstroke, it didn't affect the body. But in ancient times, back in those times, they thought that mental illness was caused by the moon. In fact, that's where we get the word lunatic. It comes from that theory. You see, the whole idea is this. We are subject to attack in our lives. We're also subject to attack in our bodies and our minds. But God will guard us against the attack from the enemy, from the outside. He'll guard us from the attack from the enemies on the inside also. So whether that attack is open, whether it's in secret, whether it comes by day or darkness at night, God is aware of where you're at and what is happening to you. And he is there to protect you, to guard you, and to give you the resources that you need to stand firm in the day of battle. Remember, he won't let your foot slip. That's important to remember, that he is there steadying us every day, every moment of the way. Our greatest gift in troublesome times is Jesus' promise that he'll be there with us. A couple other verses in Psalms that you can look at later on. Psalm 91:4, it says it this way. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Remember I said there's over 7,000 promises of Jesus in the Bible. Well, those promises are our armor. As it's talked about in Ephesians. That armor that we put on. And our protection. And Psalm 18:2 is this, and then this is a great verse. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. When we go through those tough times, those difficult times, Jesus is there as our protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. That's a great verse that we ought to be able to put on our dashboard, because when we're driving on I-95, we need to know that Jesus is our protection. Woo! Don't drive on 95 unless you have to. He's our shield, the power that saved me, and my place of safety. What a wonderful promise that is. What a wonderful promise that is. Number one, the source of our help. Number two, the strength of our help. Number three, the security of our help. Verses 7 and 8. Verse number 7 talks about we are preserved from evil. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. You know, our bodies are a lot like a volcano. If you think about it. What in the world do you mean by that, Ron? Well, think about it. We get angry and we blow off steam. We're at Publix in the 9-item or less line, and that lady in front of us has a cart full, and we blow off steam. I don't, not. My wife does the grocery shopping, and I don't go to Publix. But we do. We're like volcanoes. That stuff gets inside of us. That sin, it gets pent up, and it bursts forth, and we commit a sin. Maybe a sin that we can't even imagine. But you see, that flesh that we carry around with us in our bodies is utterly depraved. How do I know that? Well, Romans 7:18 says that it is. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. You see, how, when we look at that, you might say, well, how in the world can we live for Jesus then? Well, the answer lies in the Holy Spirit. When we're saved, that Holy Spirit moves into our body. When that gentleman got saved on Sunday, the Holy Spirit moved into his body, and I could see a difference in him when he prayed that prayer. There was an attitude of a burden that was lifted. You see, the Holy Spirit comes in with all the resources that are necessary to overcome that temptation that we face on an everyday basis, and that gives us that opportunity to say no to sin. When we're walking towards sin, it gives us that opportunity to turn 180 degrees and walk exactly the opposite way from it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this: "The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience." And I like this. "And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand." Please remember that. When you are tempted, this is such a cool part. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. He'll show you that way out. I don't remember where it was, but there was a missionary that I heard speak a long time ago. I don't remember where it was even. It was in a foreign land somewhere, and he would drive from his home to the church office every day. And he would take a particular route because it was the shortest route to go on. Well, over there, wherever he was, they put up a billboard, and it was a very sexually suggestive billboard. And it bothered him greatly. Well, what happened? Well, the Lord showed him another route, a longer route that he could go. He didn't have to look at that billboard until he took it down. You see, the Lord will give us that way out. He will give us that, show us a way so we can endure. It's easy to sin. It requires zero effort. Why is that? Well, it's because we're born with a desire to go in that direction. Sometimes we like it. Sometimes we're good at it. However, the Lord will help us to overcome that evil and that desire in our hearts. He'll protect us from the evil ones. 1 Peter 5:8 says it this way. And the first two words are the most important. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Stay alert." That's a direct command to us. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. Who's our great enemy? The devil. He prowls around like what? A roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. I love that because it says, stay alert. We're told exactly what to do. There's no doubt about it. Hey, Christian, stay alert. Those attacks are going to come. Hey, Christian, stay alert. Those things are going to happen. Hey, Christian, stay alert. You're going to be out in the world and somebody's going to make you angry. Hey, Christian, stay alert. Stay alert. We are preserved from evil. Verse number 8, it says we are preserved for eternity. It says the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Isn't that exciting? Forevermore. Forevermore. Folks, we're going to spend eternity together. If you're a believer, you and I, we're going to spend eternity together. We're going to be in heaven and spend eternity together. That should make us excited. When the Lord comes back in the rapture of the church, whether it's this year, next year, or 10 years from now, we are going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. It says so. From this time forth and forevermore. You see, in this verse, the psalmist reminds us that the Lord will keep us, though, while we're here. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, because he cares for you." That's a beautiful verse. To know that Jesus, the Creator of the universe, cares for me. The Creator of the universe cares for you. I'm really grateful tonight that the Lord let me look at Psalm 121. When Pastor Ken asked me to teach tonight, I really didn't know what to teach, and I was looking, and I said, well, I like the Psalms, and Psalm 121 just came up. And I'm so glad that it did, because it's such a beautiful 8 verses that really speak to our heart on an everyday basis. I'm glad I have those promises for my journey through this time. What about you? What about you? Do you have those promises in your heart tonight? Are you looking to Jesus to help you during the troubled times of your life? During those difficult times? My burdens, your burdens, are his burdens. My problems, your problems, are his problems. My worries, your worries, are his worries. What's my duty? My duty is to trust Jesus Christ. What is Jesus' duty? His duty is to take care of us, which he said that he would. He's always doing that. He never goes to sleep, never slumbers. Are you performing your duty? Are you performing your duty? Father, thank you tonight for just letting us look at these 8 verses in Psalm 121. Father, thank you for the wonderful promises that you've given to us, that you're always there for us. And when we go through those difficult times, just hang in there, because you're right there with us, Father.